Turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this is one of our ongoing series that we're coming back to, This Is How. And we're going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 through chapter 5, verse 2. And if you would, for the reading of the Word of God, let us stand. And we'll call this message, This Is How to Get Respect. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Treat younger men like brothers, older women like mothers, younger women like sisters in all purity. Father, help us learn, live, and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let no one despise your youth. Well, here's the situation. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's dropping him off in Ephesus and saying, start the church. Appoint some elders. Do these things. Here's how you do it. If we were to get inside Paul's head and say, okay, Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was an apostle. And if he were going to be leading men today and say, this is what you need to do. And if we wanted to be a fly on the wall and say, okay, this is what they're going to tell us how to do. So maybe we could get inside scoop. Right? That's what the 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are. If you really want to know what men of God should be teaching, and so therefore we should learn and learn to teach and all that, what accords with, what is in accord with sound doctrine, then these epistles are gold mines of that. And so I go back to them, as you know, if you've been with us for any amount of time or heard us on the internet, that we go into 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus a lot. And there's a reason why. Because there's a lot there that's practical, that you can get your hands on, that you can live out. So we're looking at this, and I'm thinking of this and bemusing upon this text. Let no one despise your youth. And I'm on a Tuesday morning, and it's about 3:30 in the morning, and I just can't let it go. And it won't let me go. And I'm thinking about it. And I'm thinking of some of the situations in this church or in my extended family or in other people's that I know. And we just had our youth camp. And we have another one coming up in another state. And all these other things. And you have the trials. And you have old people not getting along with young people. Young people not getting along with old people. Young people saying, I'm old enough. You can't tell me what to do. Old people say, you're going to have to listen to what I do. And everything in between. And you see it on the television. And you hear about it, and we heard about it in the 60s, we heard about it in the 50s, we heard about it in the 40s. Those people today, those kids today. And so the temptation is to say, well, it's just always been that way. Well, in a sense, we all have the same depraved hearts. We just get it magnified now because of all the social media. People aren't any worse off. They just are what they always were. We just see more of it. And so, yes, it does engender that sort of thing. But Paul says here to Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth. He was putting him in charge, and there were going to be people that were older than him, and he was probably around 30 years old, let's say. But for some of these people, they had been Christians the whole time, since before he was. They might have known his mom or dad, who knows? And the fact of the matter is he was a younger man about to command and teach as an apostle. He was a sent one. Many people would say Timothy was an apostle, but whether or not he was, the fact of the matter is he had authority. And some people want to come and tell him, hey, look, when I was your age, or that's not the way we did it, or, now see, this works both ways, so hold on. Hold on. This will encompass everybody. That's the whole point. I could end the sermon real quick by saying, what is it about respect? And everybody in the building can go, yeah, you got to earn it. Okay, end of story, go home. There's something about the development of this story. We know the end of the Superman movie, but we watch it anyway, right? Because it's the plot. So there's a plot here. But in my own personal life, and in many personal lives, you might have found this to happen. So you're 20 and your 45-year-old father says, you know, you just don't know. And you're like, you start to learn, hopefully by the time you're 20, probably by the time you're 40 these days. And you start learning, you start going, okay, this is pretty good. But there's always someone that's 20 years older than you, and they say, you know, hey, look, and I'll get to both sides. And they say, you, this, and you're thinking, okay, yeah. But of course, then you're their age 20 years from now, and they still say the same thing, and they knew back then how you, well, you, so when I'm 600, you're 640, I still aren't grown up? If you have the stuff, you got the stuff. And Paul says, don't let anybody despise your youth. You have the authority here. You have to use it. But there's more than some... Oh, man, you guys are going to get this. You're going to love this. This is going to be good. Don't we wish we'd say that to our youngers? You're going to get this. You're going to love this. This is going to be good. No, we go, I'm going to throttle you. We do grow in wisdom. We're supposed to. We're supposed to not just get old. We're supposed to grow old. And boy, believe me, I'm turning the tables on the young people at the end, guys, so just hold on. But we do that, don't we? We think, I'm 16. I'm going to listen to other 16-year-olds, and, you know, I'll know what to do. Like, the pulling of that ignorance is going to work. Don't we do that? Didn't we do? I did it. I wore the crown on that deal. Me and my buddies, we knew everything. The collective, and we had a collective IQ of a billion or whatever, but that doesn't mean we had any wisdom. You have all the smarts in the world. You could have the biggest machine gun in the world, but you could still be a monkey. And if you don't, let me just say this, and I'll say it again and again today, I'm sure. If you don't believe that you're supposed to grow older and that older people don't have anything to give you, then you don't have any hope for yourself because you're saying, I know everything there is to know right now. I mean, I'm in my 40s right now, but there's some people that I work with that are 67. How you doing, Peter? And some other people that, if I was stupid enough not to listen to them, that would be stupid. Not that everything they say is perfectly right, but that if you can't glean something from people that have been there, you're making a big mistake, and you're leaving no hope for yourself. And how can you lead anybody if you've never been led? But the older people on the other side are always saying, oh, the kids have no respect. And people say, look, I've earned this, I got all A's, and you get a car, and then Bobby down the street, I want some respect. I'm going to get emancipated. Or you wasted half your life from your 18 to you're about 25, and now you expect everything just to fall right back in your lap. I want some respect, you got to earn that sucker. Your parents aren't wrong to tell you to start school now. Because now, anyway... I guess I'm going to do some meddling here. But there's something here I want you to see, and this will really help you. This is how to get respect. Not that you will automatically get respect, because Jesus did everything he was supposed to do. Did everybody respect him? No. Paul? No. But they became respectable. How can we become respectable where they have nothing to say about us, even if they don't agree with us? There are men out there that are preachers that I don't agree with all of their doctrine. One follows me right on the radio show the next afterwards. But I respect that man because everything he does comes from the Bible. His interpretations may be different than mine, but when we talk, and I've talked to him several times on the air and other places, we talk Bible. And we have a lot more to agree about in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ than we don't. But it's about respect. Not about fear. Honor. And we're supposed to be giving it to be getting it. And that's what I'm saying today. But it says right here, let's not back away from the text. It says, let no one despise you for your youth. So Paul is telling not just the younger person here to stand up and do what you need to do, which he describes, which we're going into. He is also telling the older people, look, this is God's chosen man. He may be 27 or 47 or whatever it is, but no one is beyond the pulpit, including you, including him, and if he's bringing the Word of God accurately, then you listen to that, regardless of his personality and all that. If it's accurate, it's right, and you need to submit. Let no one despise you for your youth. And it's funny, and I've been guilty of this too, so I don't want to step on any toes if it was you. But people will come to you, and They'll have things to say, and just like the first person that swings, the first one that ran out of ideas, first one that cusses, the first one that has the worst vocabulary, the least vocabulary. People will, this, well, you know, but I've been a Christian since before you were born. Okay, so I'm 5,000 years old, I'm Methuselah, and you still would have been a Christian since before I was born. Does that mean I haven't learned anything? Right? And so I'm 45 and you're 65, so when I'm 65, you're 85. And so there still is the respect and the honor thing there. But if you're not giving any room for the younger people to grow, why are they going to be thinking they can learn from you as an older person? This goes both ways. And by the way, it's not how long, it's how strong. Not how long, it's how strong. Because I've been a Christian since 1974. So that would be all but about three or four people in this room that I've been longer than. Maybe five or six, okay? But I haven't been really on fire for about, you know, a dozen years, that kind of thing. But it's just funny to me. My people always go to that card. Well, I'm older than you. And? If you're wiser and have grown and things like that, then I'm listening. But I already would have listened, not even based on your age, although we should honor the age. Let no one despise your youth. But young people, there's something in this text that will tell you how to not just demand. See, that's the difference. People want to demand respect, but you got to command respect. And there's a difference there. You see it at work when you're working at the pizza place or the burger joint or whatever. There's the one manager who has things under control, and when he walks in, it just gets better, like when daddy comes home. And there's the other young one who no one wants to work for. She has a bad attitude, and it just makes everything better, worse and worse, like a cycle. And she gets frustrated, or he gets frustrated, and they leave, and they continue the same pattern in the rest of their life because they don't know how to command respect. They demand it, and they get mean and put demerits on people or fire them or do this, that, and the other thing. And the other person that has things under control, that has the respect and the actual authority and lives it out, doesn't have to do all those things. Doesn't have to be a totalitarian. Because of some things. And what are those things? I have three things that I'm going to point out to you today. A lot of intro, but we're going to get into it. Hallelujah. You see, we either worship the youth today or we despise them, don't we? I don't despise them. I look at them as nuggets. Nuggets. Just need to be polished off a little bit. There's gold in them thar hills. Some of them know it already. They know they're cute. Smart. Think good, know some verses. Oh, yeah. But that's not all there is, but it is the first thing there is. The first thing I want you to see is let them see your gift. How do you command respect? Let them see your gift. Let them see your gift. Look at verses 12 through 14. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. See, his gift, he was appointed as an apostle, as a teacher, as a leader, and Paul said, use the gift. You've been giving these gifts, now use and let people see them. To exhortation, to teaching, do not neglect the gift which you have, which was given you by prophecy within the council of elders when they laid their hands on you. Oh boy, I have three D's as well today. First one, you have to demonstrate. You want respect? You got to demonstrate. Is anybody with me? Do I have any respect? Respect the office. You have to demonstrate. Now, many are looking to do that. They get that. Everybody gets this first point. I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to demonstrate. What do they say? Represent. Right? Blind people and people on the internet can't hear that, but I did my little freaky hand thing or whatever. Word to your mother. Many are doing that. They get that. They get, okay, look, I've got these gifts. I've got these skills. I'm going to do this. I don't have to take algebra because I can play the drums. I don't have to do this because I look good. I'm going to be a model. You may be all of those things, but you don't stop right there. That's not all Paul tells Timothy to do here, but it is the first thing. Develop what you have. Demonstrate it. You got the goods? Show me the goods. Show me the money. Many are looking to do that. But they try and do that in such a way that no one sees anything else. Like their gift is enough to get them by. There's a beautiful young actress out there that doesn't look so beautiful these days. And she keeps getting in trouble. I remember when she was a little child star in Disney and all that. I thought, this little girl's charismatic. She's going to be a star. Lindsay Lohan. I thought, man, that girl, is she cute? Woo, she cute. And then she just started acting in things that, ooh, I wouldn't watch that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to let kids watch that. Ooh, and then this, and then that, and then this, and then jail, and then ankle bracelet, and then jail, and then crazy stuff written on her hands, and it just, whew, train wreck. All the gifting in the world? Yes. Is that enough? No. Samson, Saul, Solomon. Samson, all the strength. Saul, all the authority. Solomon, all the wisdom. Was it enough? No. If your character doesn't grow with the anointing that God gives you, that anointing will crush you. It'll be the means of your destruction. How many people were destroyed by their own gifts? Elvis Presley. Freddie Prinze. Alexander the Great. Study that. Hank Williams Sr. People you've known. Yourself. Good thing is God doesn't throw people in the scrap heap of life. He takes them off. Amen. You can start over with God. Hallelujah. Pick the football back up, baby. But people think they're a gift. He says do it. Yeah, he says develop that, demonstrate that. Absolutely do it. You've got something? You want to do it? Hallelujah. Do it. Go for it. Whatever God puts in your hand, do it with all your might. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us so much. But you got to earn respect. It'll get you a place. But your biblical authority is based on your biblical knowledge and skill. That's what he's telling Timothy here. And for him, it wasn't how many verses can I quote, but this is how I live and learn with my life. This is how I'm going to lead my life. This is how I'm going to lead others to Christ, to the way, to the truth, to the life. Again, this doesn't mean everybody's going to respect you. Hang on, folks, please. But you will become respectable. Over time, they're not going to have anything to say. Isn't that what we try to do? Come on, let's get real. Let's get real, young girls. Let's get real. You're 16, you're 17 years old. Mom and dad don't want you to see that boy. You live with that boy. You move out. And what do you try to do? You think you're going to make it happen. Why? Just to prove them wrong, not because you love the guy. Now, sometimes it works, and you're there with 30, 40, 50 years. Hallelujah. But do you really want to live 30, 40, 50 years just on spite and bitterness? You know what I'm saying? Well, I proved them all wrong. There was a great baseball player many years ago named Wade Boggs. Wade Boggs was a great hitter, and he was hitting about 352, and they had a candy bar for him. Wound up batting like 308, 310, and all that. And his whole mom, even after his career is over, you wonder why you don't see him as an announcer. You wonder why you don't see him in interviews. You don't wonder why he's still a young man. Why? Because it's like Pete Rose. He's like, you ever meet somebody like that? All the gifts in the... Oops. I've had to grow out of that. All the gifts in the world, but their personality makes them unbearable to live with. The worst thing in the world is someone that, you know, come on, kids, boys. Oh, you're cute, but you know it. Well, maybe you haven't heard. Hallelujah for you. But you get my point? Lots of people have gifts. But what does the gift point to? And if you're a Christian, the gift has to point to Jesus Christ. And Paul had laid his hands on Timothy, and he says, you've got to do these things out in public. You've got to show that you have this gift. You've got to take authority because you have it. But if you just demand it without commanding it by doing the things you're supposed to do and demonstrating your gift, it won't work. Are you listening to me? Now again, Matthew 5:16 says, they'll see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. But at first, it might start out like 1 Peter 4:4. It says, they will think you're crazy because you don't run with them. And they'll despise you. So sometimes your youth, listen to me, folks, is not just your young age, but you're new in the faith. And first 2 or 3 years, all your friends are still talking to you, want to run with you, and you kind of run with them a little bit, then you realize, I can't go to those places anymore. Then you just talk to them by email, and then all of a sudden they're not talking to you. Then all of a sudden they're talking behind your back about you. The Bible says it's going to happen to you. Look, if you can't change your friends, change friends. Because you're going to be changing. Is that not true? And so this is for everybody. Not just young as in age, but young in the faith or a new leadership position. This will apply to you. You're new on the job. You just got out of law school. You're 25 years old and you are the first day on the firm. And of course, you're going to have to work your way up, but they assign you some clerk there that's been there 25 years. And you've got the office of the man that just deceased, and this could be a real life story, and you move into the office. And she doesn't like the way you do things and all that. How are you going to get around that? You're just going to acquiesce? You're going to let the dog, what, you know, oh, come on. What are you going to do? How are you going to get respect? This message is for old and young alike. Are we now listening? Yes. Turn to Titus chapter 2. I tell you what, if I say turn and you don't want it to, that's fine, just listen. Verse 7 and 8. See, again, this is one of those pastoral epistles. He says the same thing, but I want you to see it again as he tells Titus. He says in verse 7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. He's saying you've got to live a life of integrity. If you want people to respect you, you've got to have the gift, and part of that gift is the Holy Spirit, and it's called the Holy Spirit for something. He is holy. And if you despise him, you're not resisting man, but God who gives you the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 and 8. Paul said part of the gift is practicing what we preach. Oh, I'm going to be this great musician, and I never see you practicing your instrument? Right? Oh, Paul, you're a disciple. You're an apostle. You are supposed to be appointing elders. You're an elder in Ephesus right now, and yet you don't have your book open. You don't know how to teach other people. What kind of gift is that? That's like saying I'm a tennis player and not owning a racket. Mm-hmm. If we receive the gift of eternal life, if we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we should live like it, and this may cause people to see Jesus through us and get saved. Let me just read some verses here. Is that okay? 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, because they'll do it. People don't like Jesus, folks. Not the real one. So when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And that may mean the day of visitation now. Eventually, they'll know that you're different. I have friends now that call me up and go, well, and I say, well, how do you think about my life? You know, I mean, I'll ask them. They say, well, you're in it more now than you ever were before. Wow. You're brainwashed. I'll say, hallelujah, yes, I am. Bible brainwashed. Hallelujah. Now, here's some people saying, I don't have any gifts. What are you talking about? You're not talking to me. I don't have any good gifts. First of all, yes, you do. And use what you got. Remember our sermon from Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, news from the battlefront. What you use, you get. You have to take it in, understand it, and give it back out, and then you get more. Develop it. And by the way, God is who? He's the one who created ex nihilo, out of nothing. God is in the business, at the very beginning of creation, of creating something out of nothing. So you can say, I don't have any gifts. Ask God for them. Ask God to show you them. And it'll be the things that you wind up doing out and you're... Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to take some inventory. People will tell you. People always come to me and ask me, hello? Seems like always I'm always involved in... Yeah? Everybody wants to... What? God is the one who creates something out of nothing. Have faith in his ability to bring forth life, solutions, promise, and hope through loving action in community. Get involved in the church. Hello. Now, Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him. And I want you to think about that just for a second. Yes, your gift makes room for you. But you've got to use that room wisely. How many people got the room at the Ritz-Carlton, but they can't afford the rent? How many people were given the big stage and were a big flop? How many people made a big splash, but then petered out? Your gift will make room for you, but you've got to do something more than that. Most people stop right here. They think, I've got this gift, I'm just going with this gift, and that's all I need, and I don't have to worry about it. But he has a different point here. Yes, we've got to show our gift if we want to get respect. Say, this is what I'm about, and I'm about it. And God's given it to me, and I'm doing it for his glory. But there's something else here. Instead of just let them see your gift, you also let them see your growth. Look at verses 15 and 16. He says, practice these things. Your version might say, immerse yourself in them. Devote yourself to them so that all, someone say all, all may see your progress, not just you and your wife and a few people here and there. You're living this thing out, baby. Do people see you change? Not that your doctrine changes all the time, but that when you're presented with superior information, you bow to the knee of the Scripture. Or when you're wrong, you admit it and you change. Do people see you change? Are we supposed to be changing from one degree of glory to another? Paul is telling Timothy this. Oh, you're going to get this. This is going to help you. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. We said, let them see your gift. You have to demonstrate it. We said, let them see your growth. You have to develop. Develop. Now, this that I'm going to give you should once and for all change the minds of some of us in here today. 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. This I want you to hear. Verse 16. This is Paul to the Corinthians. You know, they were a crazy lot, right? And he goes, I urge you then, this is Paul, be imitators of me. But then look what he says right after that. That is why. What is why? Because I want you to be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. He says, I want you to be followers of Christ because I'm following him. I want you to be followers of me, so I'm sending Timothy. And that's who he's talking to in chapter 4, 1 Timothy. He is a perfect example of proper discipleship and what it leads to. Are you listening to me? What it looks like in action and effect. Paul says, if Timothy shows up, you'll know what to do because he'll live it in front of you. In other words, this can be reproduced. Different person with the same spiritual essence. It's certainly not less than teaching, but it's not just the same doctrines. It's about the pattern of life that follows. Paul taught his ways in Christ, not just the gospel. Things that accompanied salvation. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Are you with me? Timothy was so good. Now listen to me. Timothy was so good that Paul could leave him on an island or send him to some place and say, follow this guy, and that'll be like following me, right? He's saying that about him. You get that, right? There's no mistake there. Now look at verse 19 of chapter 2 of Philippians. The point I'm making here is let them see your growth. Now watch this. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I may be cheered by news of you. Now look what he says about Timothy. Wouldn't you like this to be said about you? For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek after their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. What's he saying there? He says in 1 Corinthians, if you follow Timothy, you'll be following what I want to do. He'll live it right in front of you. And what does he say in Philippians chapter 2? Nobody does it better. Right? Timothy was sent several places by the Apostle Paul. He was commissioned to appoint leaders to churches. And again, you could say, based on several verses, like Acts 19:22, 1 Thessalonians 2:6, and just the genuine situation, that Timothy was an apostle. He was one that was sent. But even an apostle can grow. Even an apostle can learn from people that are older from him, younger than him, everybody around him. God can use all things and all means to get all purposes accomplished for his all-encompassing plan. No one was better. Timothy was an apostle, and he says, watch what you're doing. Watch how you're growing. Let people see this. Amen? He said, practice these things, devote yourself to them, let people see your progress. Not just, I'm here and I know all, and they never see you grow. Boy, they need to see you grow out of your pride right there. Woo! All may see your progress. So is the apostle Timothy supposed to be progressing? Yes! Is the pastor in this pulpit speaking to you now supposed to be progressing? Are people supposed to see that? Yes! Let me change all your doctrine. It means your practice, your life, your forgiveness, your lack of bitterness, your looking to the Lord Jesus and pointing others to him, your accuracy with the word. He says in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I'll paraphrase, he says to Timothy, make sure you show yourself, study really hard so that you can show yourself that God has approved you, that you rightly divide the scriptures. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, you've got to grow in this thing. You know all these things. You are so good. It's like putting me there. There's no one else. You're number one. And yet I'm telling you, you can still grow. Let people see it. You want respect? Let people see you earning it and growing. They'll respect that because most people don't change. They say, "Woo! I signed a card. I got saved. I fell down a few times, got baptized, and I can live any way I want to." Or they don't say that, but they don't live it. Same old snake they always were. When is their personality going to change? Man, I'm tired of dealing with them. They don't respect you. Maybe they ought to, and they ought to honor you. And I understand that. But you want to see people change their attitude towards you. Change your attitude towards you. You want to see people change their attitude towards you. You change your attitude towards you. Maybe it's you that needs to change. Even if they do need to change, maybe they're not going to change until you change. Then they can see the change, then they'll change. Can I say that one again? I don't know. See if I change. Maybe the change they need is to see you change, so then they know people can change, so then they'll change because they saw you change. And then other people see you change, and so on and so on and so on, and then you got yourself a real church. Imagine that. Let them see your gift. Hallelujah. But let them see your growth. Let them see your growth in humility, in reverence, in holiness, in purity. Our lives should point to God as the answer, and the demonstration of that has to be believable. If we haven't changed, we're acting like we used to, or we go back to adopting some other sinful way, how can we point to the right way when we're going the wrong way? Do as I say, not as I do. Paul doesn't say that. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. He says, follow Timothy because he's following me and I'm following Christ and I got nobody better. But he says, still, you can see him grow. Oh, you can admire him, but you really respect him because he's not standing still. I'm not just sitting on my gifts, sitting on my laurels. I want to get bigger, better, bolder, and greater for God, for his glory. Paul told Timothy to keep improving so that his people wouldn't have to suffer as much as they did, or they would have if they didn't. That's what he means, save yourself and your hearers. They could see his progress, and they'd be able to avoid pitfalls themselves. To live and testify rightly helps our witness to the outside world. But now listen to me, folks in here, and for all you that are in here, or are going to come in here, or hear me on the air, or whatever. It gives growing and struggling Christians both comfort and hope to see you grow. Why? Comfort, because we see it's a process. Hope, because we see it can be done. Romans 15:4, these things that were written for our learning. We're not just sitting up in your ivory tower, not learning anything. When you can see actually that, hey, I made a mistake. I admit the mistake. I grow from that mistake. And now I have the grace. I can learn. That helps people. That's what people want to see. Is it real? Does it last? Even Christians want to see that. You're called to glorify God with what you do. It's not look what I did. Look what I can do for God. Not simply look what God can do through me. Like, I was delivered, I'm ministering, but it's look at God through me. Look at God working, because not something that I'm announcing and I'm so great, but you see that I'm more humble than I used to be. I'm more accurate than I used to be. I'm more loving than I used to be. I have a shorter leash on sin than I used to. I forgive right away. I try to put in practice all these things that I've learned, and I'm trying to learn more. There are people that are like that out there. That's who you want to be. That's who you respect. Right? Because even if they don't get things right, you know they're going to want to get them right and they're going to go after it. That I respect. That's the kind of people we can work with. That's the kind of people that can learn to minister. Hallelujah. Not just that my life points to the power of Jesus, but it points to Jesus himself. Ongoing and improving testimony. Not just the testimony of what God's done in you, but the testimony of who God is through you. Do people see Jesus in you, the real Jesus? Do they see it more than they used to? You keep taking two steps forward, five steps back. And we keep saying, oh, God's grace is with you. Oh, there's no condemnation. Yeah, I get that. But what I want to see is you grow. I don't care if you're 50 years older than me or not. Actually, your mother is, Ed. But you know what I'm saying? People want to see you grow. I respect the little 12-year-old that maybe he's not doing the best in school, maybe he's having this problem, that problem, but I see him growing in this area, that area. Or maybe I told you one Sunday, man, I see you growing, you're thinking, what was that? That's the point. That's the point. It's not something that, you know, you're so good, you're so this, but they see it because you're practicing it, and it happens because God is doing the growth. It is God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Now, unbelievers and immature and even mature, maturing believers don't only want to see what God's done for you, but who God is, who he's like, what he's like through you, so they too can believe for that same deliverance. Otherwise, they may think you're just gifted. See what I'm saying? If you have the gift and you don't grow in it, and you're number one pick out of the University of Illinois in 1990, Jeff George, and I don't mean to pick on him, and I hope he's a Christian and all that, forgive me, Mr. George, but he had a cannon of an arm. Flick the ball, flick it, on a dime, 60 yards, flick the ball. And he kept getting chance after chance after chance after chance, but he didn't know how to lead and couldn't command respect and didn't have the respect of his peers, and he had the greatest gift, the greatest arm, probably since Burt Jones, if you guys know who that is. And this guy had an arm. But did you know who he is? No. Why? Because all he had was gift. He didn't grow in the rest of it. You got to develop around your gift. You could be the greatest singer in the world, but you got to have people playing instruments, and you're going to be doing a cappella all your life with the three tenors or whatever. Even they have the fat lady sing, you know what I'm saying? Opera and all that. I'm telling you. People don't just got to see your gift, because then they'll think it's just your giftedness, and they'll think, well, God's not giving me that way, so I guess he doesn't love me. See how that hurts other people? Good for you, but it won't work for me. Perhaps you've heard that before, and maybe from people that are Christians. One way to get around that, by the way, is when you see God hugging on somebody, don't go, why isn't he hugging on me? Say, thank God, God's a hugger. Contentment. We have to keep growing in grace if our lives are revealed to God who gives us grace. Otherwise, people will wonder how much grace we get before it wears out. Wonder if that limited grace is enough to help them. You just have a better situation. You're just set up. You just have the right gifts. I don't have it. I just don't have those things. God doesn't give me those things. He's just pounding on me. Wrongo. If people can see you grow, then they'll give you more stuff. We talked about that before. This is how to get ahead. We did a whole sermon on it. What you do with your time, what you do with your money. We talked about that. A continuing witness is an important factor in the testimony of any individual and certainly the local church. Is it real and does it last? Now, again, not just despise your youth, but despise your new position of leadership. Or despise your new faith. Or your youth in the faith. You see, we make a decision. We think, oh, I'm going to do it now. I'm with God now. And people don't seem to respect that. Or, you know, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do this now. See, it takes time to earn and learn trust. It's not your decision to start, but your determination to stay that counts. It's not your decision to start, but your determination to stay that counts. You don't just have to have the gift. You've got to grow in it. Boy, I'm not even close to being done, but I'm almost done. Hallelujah. 1201. Oh, well, I'm sorry. We're almost there. Thanks for respecting. I'll try to respect the rest of your time. When you start to earn respect, it doesn't mean everybody's going to love everything that you do, okay? But it means they're going to respect your position if it's biblical. You need to grow in that. Here's something, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, we comfort others with the comfort that we've been comforted with. We comfort others with the comfort that we've been comforted with. Let me say this to you. If we expect to comfort others with the comfort we've been comforted with, we must also expect to be troubled with the troubles that they have been troubled with. Are you really willing to that? To do that? Do you have empathy? If you really want to get down there and say, I've got this gift, I've got this little book that I read, and now I'm going to minister to people out of it. Wrong go. That's why it doesn't work. You get people feeling good for a little while, and they turn back and do the same old thing. Why? Because you weren't down there in their soul. Somebody else was trying to get their soul, and they were working through you, and you weren't Timothy. You didn't have it in you. You got to get that stuff in you. That's why I like to write my own stuff. Because then it's part of me, and I can minister out of that. Doesn't mean you can't learn from other people. You can. But if you're not going to get down there with them and really experience that, that's why people like certain books and series and things like that, because they are brought into the story. I mean, we tell the same old stories over and over and over again, right? But when the plot is the right way, we get in there, we feel it, and then we want to tell our friends about it. Ooh, look at this book, or look at this movie, or look at this, this, this. They never talked about the Bible that way. Where's your priorities? If we want to comfort others with the comfort that we've been comforted with, that means we need to expect to be troubled with the troubles that others are troubled with. That's what Jesus did. He said he's not an unsympathizing high priest, but he's been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life that covers all sin areas, and he was tempted and he overcame. He's able to help us. Are you able to help other people? So learn to use your gifts and grow in them. But Paul was not just saying, let them see your gifts and let them see your growth. But to make this truly effective, you can't leave out the last ingredient. Let them see your gift. You must demonstrate it. Let them see your growth. You must develop it. Let them see your grace. You have to deepen. Deepen. Look at verse, chapter 5, verse 1. This is representative of what he's saying. He says, do not rebuke an older man. I've got the authority. You can't tell me what to do. You've got the authority. Use it. Just take him aside and tell them like you would tell your father. If your father was 75, 80 years old, and he had just became miraculously unblind, and he was blind, and you were finally teaching him, instead of him teaching you, how to drive the car again, and he was going on the stick shift like you did, remember? You wouldn't say, "Dad, you idiot!" You go, "Okay, Dad, okay, hold on. Take the clutch and pull it out slower." It would be no problem. He'd be wrong. You'd be correcting him. But would you be doing it with grace? Now, so your father might not have been good, but treat him as a father that was good. I've had to grow in this area. No question about it. Remember, this goes backwards. Backwards and forwards. Don't rebuke the elder, but take him private. But don't let him despise your youth. See, it's going. If you're young or you're old, it's about growing in grace. Let them see your gift demonstrated. Let them see your growth. Develop it. Let them see your grace. You've got to deepen. Don't rebuke elders in public. Treat them as if they were a good dad. But you do stop them if they're wrong. He says that in Titus. We could go back into Titus where he says, stop them. Silence them. I'm close to there. Let me read Titus 2:15. I'm close. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything? Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one disregard you. Same thing. Titus was also a young man. It's indicative of how Paul teaches. In 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, he says, look, be gentle with the people, have patience with them, because God may turn them around to repentance. Thank God I've learned on this, because I got to tell you, I think I've had the right doctrines for a long, long, long time, and I used to get so fired up when people don't, and I'm like, look, I got it right, get off. But now it's more like, okay, let them see your love, let them see your grace, try to speak with them where they're at, feel them, and say, can't you see? And you'd be surprised how much in agreement some people are with you, and how God turns them around. When people see grace, they see God. When people see grace, they see God. Again, it's not how long, but how strong. And growth with grace maximizes our gifts. We were in Titus. Man, here we go again. I'm telling you, I have like a paragraph left. Okay? Titus 3. Titus 3, verse 1. Remind them, who's them? Older and younger. Because he just talked about everybody in chapter 2. You can read that. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. It's for all people. If we don't respect authority structures, then we're teaching others rebellion. Are you modeling submission, or do you badmouth cops, the government, and everything else? And expect others, like your children, to submit? Tell them I'm not here. No, tell them I can't come to the phone right now. The reason might be because I don't want to, but that's better. And it doesn't matter if we go to church, I'm just tired. And you call your children in some other state and wonder why they're not with the Lord. Are you teaching your children to submit, or are you teaching them to lie? Spiritual life is not meant to be an early peak and then a slow fade out. That's a flawed concept. It's not our physical or mental strength that gives the gospel its power, but our relationship with Him is the demonstration of that power. Why would it ebb backward unless we're backsliding? And do you mean to tell me that all the other people on earth that are getting older are downsliding spiritually just because they can't physically do the stuff? That's stupid thinking. Just because you can't do the stuff physically, you should be getting better spiritually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In a sense, the old oaks matter more. Did you know that? Because they're supposed to have gone with God more over time. Think about Paul on the road to Damascus, and then think about him in Romans chapter 11. You think he grew in that time? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe able to be physically less, but their relationship ideally ought to be more. Spiritually, they can do more in prayer. They can mentor. They can just be a witness by being alive and smiling, like when we go to the nursing home. That's a witness. If you grow old with God, you can count on abundant fruit even as the seasons change. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says that they'll be like a tree planted by the water and they will give fruit in season and out of season. When you don't respect the hope of the elders, your elders, you don't respect the hope for yourself. Because that's the way you and I are all heading. When Rehoboam disrespected the old folks, he lost control over the northern 10 tribes of Israel. You read that in 2 Chronicles 10. Solomon died. There was Jeroboam, one of his generals, and Rehoboam, his son. And Rehoboam had the kingdom. And Jeroboam and all the rest of them said, the taxes are too high, dude. And he goes, okay, let me talk to the old people. The old people said, dude, taxes are too high. The kingdom is good. Let's not do this. And then he went to the young men. The young men go, oh, man, get all you can. Tell him you're twice the size of your dad. You think it was bad? You think it was a whip? Now he's going to put a scorpion on you. And what happened is 10 kingdoms banned. Goodbye, Israel. They never came back. If you disrespect older people in your life, and I don't mean a 16 to an 18-year-old. I'm talking about you 16-year-old to a 50-year-old. Not some 50-year-old that's trying to act like a 20-year-old. Someone that's grown and known. If you don't respect that, think about what you're saying with your own life. You're saying that when I grow older, that you're starting out at the top and going down? Or are you supposed to be getting bigger in Jesus? Are you supposed to grow in grace and the knowledge of God? You don't have it all figured out. I'm not down on people. I'm up on people. I'm up on Jesus and what he can do in people's life over time. And the more you are with him, and the more you are learning him and living him and loving him, and you're demonstrating your gift, and you're deepening in the things of God, and you're growing in that, and you're persisting in that, and people see that, and you have it seasoned with grace, the more respect you'll have, the more respect you'll command, and you should be looking for people like that. The company you keep. We need to model the spiritual fact that we can be looking forward to growing old as opposed to merely getting old. Young person, you need to find an oak. But it's boring. You know what? Do something for somebody else. You might find that it's not as boring as you think. Adults, get growing and become an oak. Old folks, make sure you stay old oaks by keeping others lit. We're like trees planted by the water, and we need more oaks, not twigs. We've got to keep showing our people the right path, that we've got gifts and that we're growing in them, even when our physical skills are down, the gifts that God gives us are raising up, and that we're having them seasoned with grace and we know how to answer every man. In this community, in our church, let's surround our young folks with hope. Let them see that this isn't something boring that you have to do, and if you don't give God 10% of your money, you're going to hell. Right. They don't show up to church every time the door is open. God doesn't like you. But that we can have joy. Maybe we see some old people jumping up and down and clapping their hands. Or not, and respecting that. Because here they are. And all the young people think they don't know what they're talking about, but they're sitting there praising God. And somebody will see that and go, you know, there must be something to that. That's what we want. That's what we want. Let's become an avenue of oaks. Let them see your gift. But let them see your growth. And let them see your grace. You have to demonstrate, develop, and deepen. A gift that grows with grace. A gift that grows with grace will get you respect. Father, we saw Jesus in the scriptures come into the world perfect, sinless, the Son of God, all power. And he grew physically. And then it says that he learned obedience by the things he suffered. That he became a perfect high priest. That in this life he lived a perfect life, but matured in that. Otherwise he would have died when he was a year old, not 33 years old. But he fulfilled all righteousness. I respect that as a man. Lord, I respect when I see people come to church, struggle, and change. Struggle again, and change again. And then they know how the thing works. They put themselves in the change machine, and they come out shining like a new coin, inside and out. Lord, I believe that you gift people and that you help them to grow in grace. Help us that we might be those portraits of grace that point to you as the grace giver. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.